of that. But the logic lifted some of the pressure off his chest. Maybe they were closer to freedom than he'd thought. If there was a bridge and they could hitch a ride over it, then they were practically already out of Master Joseph's reach. He glanced up and down the road, seemingly deserted. They'd passed around a corner, so he could no longer see the chaos ridden. Suddenly, lights swept toward them. Tamara gave a little gasp. It was a delivery van that read, "Flowers of Fairyland," in sickeningly sweet script along the side.
"A flower delivery van," said Jasper, sounding relieved.
It did seem pretty unsinister, considering what else was on this island. Tamara darted out into the middle of the road, waving her hands. She could have made a much bigger beacon with fire magic, Call thought, but that would have terrified an ordinary person. The van pulled to a screeching halt. A middle-aged man with close-cropped hair and a backward baseball cap stuck his head out the window.
"What's going on?"
"We're lost," Tamara said. She swept the newsboy cap off so her braids fell down and batted her eyes innocently. With the pastel dress, she looked like someone who'd escaped an Easter egg hunt.
"We rowed over to the island to look around, but our boat drifted away when we weren't looking and the sun went down."
She sniffed.
"Can you help us, mister?"
Cole thought the mister was laying it on a little thick, but the guy seemed sold.
"Sure,"
the man said, looking bewildered.
"I guess. Hop on up, kids."
As they approached, he threw out a ropey arm. There was a big black tattoo on his bicep that looked a little like an eye. It seemed weirdly familiar.
"Whoa, whoa, what's that?"
He pointed at Havoc.
"It's my dog," said Call. "His name's..."
"I don't care what his name is," said the guy. "He's huge!"
"We really can't leave him."
Tamara looked at the guy with huge eyes.
"Please, he's really tame."
Which was how Call found himself, Jasper, and Havoc being loaded into the empty back of the truck, which had no seats, just windowless metal flooring and walls. Hugo, which was the guy's name, brought Tamara up to sit beside him in the cab. She threw Call and Jasper an apologetic look as Hugo pulled the metal door down, locking them in.
"Betrayed," said Jasper. "Once again by a woman."
The truck started up. Call felt his muscles relax as soon as they were rolling. He might be sitting in pitch black with Jasper, but he was getting away from Master Joseph and Alex.
"You know," he said, "that kind of attitude is not going to help you get Celia back."
A light sparked. It was a slight ember of fire magic burning in Jasper's hand. It illuminated the inside of the truck and Jasper's thoughtful scowl.
"You know," he said, "it doesn't smell like flowers in here."
Now that he mentioned it, Call realized he was right. And there were no stray petals or stems on the floor near their feet. There was an odor in the van, but it was a chemical one, more like formaldehyde.
"I didn't like the look of that guy," said Jasper, "or his tattoo."
Call suddenly remembered where he'd seen that eye symbol before. Over the gates of the Panopticon. The prison that never slept. His heart thumped. Could the guy be a guard meant to take him back to prison? In the front of the van, Call heard Tamara say,
"No, not that way, no!"
Hugo said something in return. They hit a dirt road and started bumping around so Call couldn't quite make out the words. Then they lurched to a stop.
After a moment, the back of the van opened. Master Joseph stood at the foot, a stern expression on his face. Hugo had brought them back to the enemy of death's stronghold.
"Come along, Colum," he said.
His voice was even and calm, but Call could see that his hands were in fists at his sides. He was furious, even if he didn't want Hugo to see it.
"We must talk. I'd hoped to do this tomorrow, and under better circumstances, but I can't have you wandering around the island."
Tamara climbed out of the passenger side, looking stricken. Call and Jasper clambered out of the back of the truck, followed by Havoc, who put his nose against the palm of Call's hand, clearly confused about everything that was happening. Unfortunately, Call understood all too well. Master Joseph's prison wasn't the house. It was the whole island.
"It was an honor to kidnap you, sir,"
Hugo said to Colum with a wide grin.
"You probably don't remember me, but I saw you in the Panopticon."
He tapped the tattoo on his arm.
"I was there, too. Locked up, you know, ever since the war. Lots of us were. But once you came, we knew it was going to be all right. We never stopped believing in you. Not even when they said you were dead. If anyone can rise, it's the enemy of death."
Jasper and Call looked at Tamara, who had her hands over her mouth. The strike on the Panopticon hadn't just been about freeing Call after all. Master Joseph had used Anastasia to help him get Constantine's old followers out, too. "I don't want to be on this island," Call said. "Don't you think that if you're serving me, you should do what I want?"
"Thank you for bringing them back so swiftly,"
Master Joseph said, before Call's words could have any effect on Hugo. Hugo grinned again, nodding to Call, and climbed back in his van.
"Good luck getting your memories back," he said. "You'll remember soon enough why you want to be here."
With a heavy heart, Call watched the van pull away, taking their escape plan with it. He was dejected enough to follow Master Joseph back into the house with Tamara, Havoc, and Jasper behind him. Master Joseph took a key out of his pocket and unlocked a parlor they'd never been in before. It appeared to be unheated, easily as cold as it had been outside. There were double doors on the far side of the room and two couches in the center. Master Joseph beckoned for them to sit, but remained standing.
"I could strip you of your magic and your life," Master Joseph said. "I could take your power for myself. Would you prefer that?"
"If that's what you were planning on doing, then what are you waiting for?" Call demanded.
Tamara and Jasper both half rose from the couch as if they thought a fight was coming. Havoc growled. Master Joseph only laughed, though.
"I have a proposal for you."
"How about that?"
"Colum, once you complete the task I set for you, you can leave the island with your friends, if that's what you still want."
"A task?" Call asked. "Is this some kind of trick thing where I have to tame an impossible elemental or separate dirt from sand on an entire beach?"
Master Joseph smiled.
"Nothing like that."
He flung open the doors at the far end of the room. After a moment, Call and the others joined him at the entryway. Inside was a large, white-painted room. There was nothing in it but a metal table. On top of the table lay a body that was perfectly preserved, covered to the neck by a thin, white sheet.
"The task," he said, "is to raise Aaron Stewart from the dead."
Chapter 6 Cole heard Tamara's awful gasp. She staggered back, and Jasper caught her arm. Cole couldn't have done it. He was completely frozen. It was definitely Aaron on the table. He lay on his back. His blonde hair had been brushed. His green eyes were open and blank. Havoc put his head back and gave a single, awful howl of loneliness, abandonment, and horror. It was like he was making the sound Cole couldn't make. It rang and rang in Cole's ears as he stood there, his body beginning to shake.
"God, stop that noise!"
It was Alex Strike, appearing in his black silk pajamas behind them. He looked rumpled and sleepy and annoyed. But the look turned quickly into a smirk.
"Oh, I see you decided to show them what's really going on here."
Tamara, Cole, and Jasper watched with horror as he walked up to the table and yanked down the sheet. Aaron was wearing what they must have planned to bury him in. His bronze year uniform. Alex picked up one of his wrists. His wristband gleamed on it. Stones for heroism peppered the band, along with stones for his iron, copper, and bronze years. And the black stone of chaos. Because he had been a Makar. Much good it had done him, Cole thought bitterly. Alex had stolen his magic, and now he was only a shell that had once held life and animation and chaos. "And Aaron, don't touch him," Cole growled. Alex let go of Aaron's hand, and it thumped lifelessly against the table.
"Dead," he said cheerfully. "Muerto." "I think we've got the message," said Jasper. "Thanks."
"What's going on?"
said Tamara in a choked voice.
"Why is Aaron here? The Magisterium is going to notice his body is missing."
Master Joseph had been standing at the door, watching them with an eerie stillness. He came toward the center of the room now, his eyes flicking over Aaron's body as if it were something in a petri dish.
"Oh, they already know. He was taken some time ago. They haven't said anything because it would hardly behoove them for the mage world to know they've messed this up, too. Losing the body of a dead Makar, after not noticing they had the enemy of death among them for 3 years? The assembly would explode."
"To be fair to Call," said Jasper, "it really wouldn't have been very easy to guess he was the EOD. He's very wily."
Havoc had been pulling against Call's grip. Call let go. He felt too numb inside to care whether Havoc launched himself at Master Joseph and tried to bite his face. But he didn't. Instead, Havoc went over to the table where Aaron's body lay, gave a heartbroken sniffle, and curled up under it.
"I don't understand,"
Tamara said, fighting tears.
"What's the point of this? Nobody can raise the dead. Constantine couldn't, and that's why we have the chaos ridden."
"Constantine could have," said Master Joseph. "He was but days away from that breakthrough when the Third Mage War broke out. Then, because of the Cold Massacre, he was forced to start again, but he... you can do it now. The knowledge was in his soul, and his soul is here in you, Call."
Call looked at Aaron on the table. For the first time, what Master Joseph was saying didn't seem so crazy. Death was terrible. Alistair was still mourning Sarah, and it had been more than a decade since she'd died. Call would have liked to have had a mom, even if she had some reservations about him, and all the people who hated him did so because Constantine Madden had taken someone from them. If he, Colum Hunt, could really bring people back from the dead, not halfway back, as with the creepy chaos written, but actually, really back, they would forgive him. They'd forgive him for anything. And he could have Aaron for a best friend again. Aaron, alive and laughing. Aaron, reborn. Tamara wouldn't have to worry about making the wrong choice and saving him. Call could stop missing him. Everything could go back to the way it was.
"Here's the bargain I am prepared to make,"
Master Joseph continued.
"Colum, you stay here and work to bring Aaron back from the dead. Alex will help you, since he is the architect of this unfortunate accident."
Call started to point out that Aaron's death was no accident, and Alex was a murderer, but Master Joseph kept speaking.
"You will have access to Constantine's notes and my experience. Once you bring Aaron back, you can decide to take up your destiny to end death, or you can depart. For good. If you choose to go, Colum, I will let you. I will accept that there isn't enough of Constantine Madden in you, and I will release you from his destiny."
For a moment, Call wasn't sure he was hearing Master Joseph right. After all this effort, he would just let Call go? "What about Tamara and Jasper?" Call asked. "And Aaron?"
"All of you,"
Master Joseph promised.
"Tamara, Jasper, Aaron, Havoc. You can all leave. All I ask is this. You bring Aaron to the assembly and let them see what we are capable of. If they still want war, so be it. But I have a feeling that seeing a loved one brought back to life will change their minds. Because if you can bring back your friend, you can bring back their friends, too. Their husbands and wives, their parents, their children. Everyone has lost someone. Everyone, deep in their hearts, wishes they could have a little more time to live."
Tamara cleared her throat. She had stopped looking over at Aaron on the table, although Cole could tell she wanted to. "That seems fair," she said. Cole felt a wave of relief. He was glad it wasn't just him. If Tamara wanted to do it, then it must be okay to want it too.
"But, Colum,"
Master Joseph went on,
"if you find your heart stirred by what you've done, if you find the assembly to be the cowards they are, afraid to plumb the depths of chaos magic, and afraid to let anyone else do it either, then you must stay with us. Tamara and Jasper, I will train you while you are here. We need smart young mages like yourselves. You've heard a lot of things about the enemy of death's followers. You've probably been made to think that we're villains. But once you've been here for a time, you might come to see us differently. Just as you've already been able to separate Call from the terrible stories about Constantine Madden."
"You're going to train us?" Jasper asked. "In what?"
Master Joseph smiled at him.
"Perhaps you've forgotten that I taught at the Magisterium once. I turned out many fine apprentices, most of them completely uninterested in chaos magic. I taught the parents of some apprentices in the Magisterium today."
Call imagined those parents weren't exactly bragging now about having been Master Joseph's students.
He wondered if their children knew.
"Do you accept this deal?"
Master Joseph asked Call. Call looked at Aaron's body and wanted to say yes. If there was any chance to bring back Aaron, he wanted to take it. But this wasn't just a lot of points on his evil overlord list. This pretty much was the list, the whole thing. Saying yes to this made him an evil overlord, and not any evil overlord. It made him the enemy of death. Still, Tamara hadn't objected, and she wasn't objecting now. Even Jasper wasn't saying anything against it. They wanted Aaron back, too. Call knew they did. Constantine had wanted to bring his brother back, but that had been different. Aaron was a good person. Aaron shouldn't be dead.
"Yes," Call said. "I'll do it. I'll bring him back."
Master Joseph's smile was electric. Alex, meanwhile, glowered menacingly. "There is one complication I didn't mention," said Master Joseph.
"You can't change the deal," Tamara insisted.
"Oh, no. Nothing like that."
Everything friendly had gone out of Master Joseph's demeanor. He looked hard and cold and terrifying, like he had when Call had first met him.
"It's only this. If you run again, I will destroy Aaron's body so that there's no chance he will ever come back. And if you run after that, I will kill one of you. I will stick to the terms of our deal, so long as you three stick to them as well."
Jasper drew a sharp breath.
"You can't kill Call," he said. "You need him. He's your Chaos Mage."
"Alex also has the power of chaos now,"
Master Joseph replied in the same frightening voice.
"And we have the Alkahest. Not only will I kill Call if I must, I have the means to do it. And to take his power."
He thought of Master Joseph's grim words at dinner.
"Let's give Call an opportunity to find who he is. If he doesn't, I will strip the power from him myself. I'm sure, however, that it won't come to that. Now, go to bed."
The terrifying look was gone, and Master Joseph was back to normal, at least normal for him.
"We will begin our studies in earnest in the morning."
With that, he ushered them away from Aaron's body, locking the door behind him. With a last look back, Call headed toward the stairs. As he climbed them, he felt thoroughly exhausted. He'd started the day in prison and had ended it agreeing to do the one thing he'd thought he'd never do. Try to raise the dead. When he got to the top, he started toward the door to his room, but wasn't sure if he could face it. He turned to Tamara, who was heading into the pink room. "Can I sleep on your floor?" he asked. "Your room is the only non-creepy one."
"Me too?"
asked Jasper, seizing on this idea. Tamara gave a small smile.
"Yeah, that would be good."
Jasper disappeared to get his sleeping things. Call did the same. After changing into pajamas, he dragged his mattress into Tamara's room, settling it against the legs of her footboard. She was standing by the window, in her own pajamas, which were white with lace ruffles. She looked up as Call came in, and he saw how deeply shaken she looked. He stopped dead. Tamara looked like she'd lost every ounce of her fighting spirit.
What is it?
He asked.
Baron, she said. It's awful enough that he died. But for Master Joseph to have stolen his body, the way he looked, all white and cold on that table.
Cole's feet moved without his conscious will. He couldn't just let her stand there looking so miserable. He went across the room toward her and reached out his hand, meaning to pat her shoulder. But the moment he got close to her, she threw her arms around his neck and buried her face in his chest. Cole stood, stunned, barely breathing. His heart felt like an untethered balloon, bouncing around in his chest. He folded his arms around her carefully. She was small and warm. Sometimes he forgot how small she was because her bravery loomed so large in his mind. She smelled like soap and sunshine. He wanted to breathe her in, but recognized that this would be seen as weird and possibly creepy behavior. He thought of Anastasia's words, and despite the horror they'd just come from, his pulse began to beat so hard he was afraid Tamara would notice it.
"Call," she said, her voice muffled. "I worried that once Aaron was gone, you wouldn't be my friend anymore."
His heart thumped. "I was worried about the same thing."
"It's not true, though, right?"
She looked up at him worriedly. "We're still friends. We're always going to be friends, no matter what." He found himself gently patting her hair, stroking it even. He felt like he was someone else, not Colm Hunt. Someone who deserved to have Tamara Rajavi care about him.
"Yeah,"
he said, surprised and slightly panicked by the words coming out of his mouth. "Ever since I first met you," the door flew open and Tamara and Cole jumped apart as Jasper hastened in, wearing horse-covered pajamas and dragging a blanket. He curled up in it, at the side of Tamara's bed, as she walked back over to sit on the edge of her mattress. Cole, looking nonchalant, sprawled on his own makeshift bed.
"I was just telling Cole," Tamara said, "we have to be careful. Really careful."
"Is that news?"
asked Jasper.
"Master Joseph is considering taking Cole's power with the Alkahest," said Tamara. She turned to Cole. "Think about it. Then, Master Joseph could be the enemy of death. He wouldn't need to try to make Cole do what he wants. He could do it himself."
"But he values Constantine's soul," Jasper pointed out.
"I know," said Tamara. "He definitely thinks Cole has a better chance of raising the dead," Tamara said. "Otherwise, he would have taken Cole's powers already, which is why Cole was smart to play along with Master Joseph about raising Aaron."
Play along?
Cole had been feeling as if he were floating. Now he crashed back down to Earth. Tamara had thought he was playing along with Master Joseph, that he hadn't meant anything he'd said about bringing back Aaron. But that had never crossed his mind. He'd thought they were in agreement. He'd thought that, for once, he wasn't doing the wrong thing. They'd been so close just a moment before. Now it seemed all wrong, as though he'd tricked her somehow.
"We'll find a way out of here," Tamara told him now, "and we'll try to figure out how to get to the Alkahest. If we could steal it, or even better, destroy it, you'd be a lot safer. You just have to pretend to be trying to raise Aaron in the meantime."
"Yes," Cole said, more forcefully than he intended. "Pretend, definitely. That's exactly what I was going to do." But as he allowed himself to relax into sleep, with Havoc warm beside him, he already knew he was lying. He was still going to bring Aaron back from the dead. Maybe it wasn't the right thing, but if everything could go back the way it was before, if Aaron could be alive and they could all be happy, he didn't care about right or wrong.
Chapter 7 Breakfast the next morning was served by chaos-ridden, as though Call and the others were attending the world's weirdest fancy boarding school. The chaos-ridden plunked the dishes down hard, as though they were dropping rocks, causing food to occasionally bounce right off and into Havoc's mouth. Still, the table was piled high with French toast dripping with butter, bacon and scrambled eggs, fresh-squeezed orange juice, and grits. Tamara and Jasper were both on their best behavior, apparently in an attempt to convince Master Joseph they were down with his plan. Tamara had on a pale blue dress with only some of the lace ripped off, and there were horses on Jasper's shirt and pants. Alex was there, too, though he didn't eat anything and just drank black coffee. Call had a feeling Alex had an evil overlord list, too, but his scoring went the other way. He probably gave himself a point every time he dressed all in black, or menaced small children, maybe a gold star if he did both at once. After breakfast, Master Joseph took Jasper and Tamara off for lessons in the library, while Alex, jittery from coffee, and Call returned to the room where they'd left Aaron's body. They didn't talk on the way. Call had resigned himself to spending time with Alex, though there wasn't anyone in the world he hated more. Alex had lied to him for years, had killed his best friend, had taken Aaron away from him. Call wouldn't be sorry to see him dead. He knew that was evil overlordian of him, but he accepted it, even as he reminded himself that Alex was also his path back to Aaron. He knew more about Constantine's methods than Call did. Call couldn't decide if he was relieved or not when it turned out that Aaron's body had been taken away. Instead, there was a different metal table in the room. On it lay something small and stiff and dead. Call recoiled.
"Yuck!"
he said.
"What's that?"
"Common garden stoat," said Alex, pacing behind the table. "We get to raise it. Something to practice on." He lifted an eyebrow at Call's expression. "This is necromancy, Callum. It can get messy and dangerous, and once Aaron's body is damaged, it can't be repaired."
"How did Master Joseph steal Aaron's body anyway?"
Call asked as Alex went over to a shelf and took down two pairs of heavy canvas gloves. He tossed one pair to Call and took the other.
"Anastasia was in the magisterium after the funeral," said Alex. "She arranged with Master Joseph to release an air elemental who carried the body here." He grinned as he yanked the black gloves on. "I bet you could have heard those masters screaming through the whole cave system."
"So you don't miss it, I guess," Call said, putting on his own gloves. "The Magisterium? Kimaya?"
"Kimaya?"
Alex burst out laughing. "You think I'm pining away over Kimaya? You think I feel badly about lying?"
"I guess it would have been awkward to tell her you were a murderer in thrall to Master Joseph," said Call.
Alex raised an eyebrow.
"I didn't notice you running around blurting your little secret to everyone, Constantine."
"Well," said Call, "they all know now." Alex gave him an odd look.
"Yeah, they do.
and Kemiah knows about me. He bent over the stoat.
So.
So, echoed Cole. Time to share your wisdom. How do you raise the dead?
Anastasia said you brought back Jen Matsui,
said Alex.
Yeah, but she was
chaos-ridden. Cole shuddered. She was all wrong.
She was able to answer questions.
Chaos-ridden can't do that.
It's a start.
Cole frowned at Alex. Of course chaos-ridden could answer questions. They could talk.
Did that mean that Alex couldn't hear them?
Now that Cole thought about it, it was weird that Jen had come back being able to be heard by everyone. Did that mean Cole had done something different with her, something Alex wasn't doing with his own chaos-ridden?
Cole held up his gloved hands.
I thought you were the expert here. I thought you'd been practicing with Constantine's methods or whatever.
I know a lot,
Alex said angrily.
For starters, we're chaos mages. Chaos is unstable energy. Our instinct is to grab that chaos and shove it into an empty body without a soul. That's how you get chaos-ridden.
Uh-huh. Cole nodded, following so far, although the part about instinct was creepy.
But every element has access to its opposite, and the opposite of chaos is the soul. The human stuff that makes people who they are. Stoats, too.
Alex looked as if he was amusing himself.
We've got to reach out there and find this weasel's little weasel soul and shove it back into its body, just like Constantine shoved his soul into you.
Right, Cole said, remembering how it had felt to look for Jennifer Matsui's soul. He and Aaron had caught traces of it to make her talk, but then it had started to fade away, back into nothing. He had grabbed for it, and it had come apart in pieces. How he'd channeled magic into those shining threads to hold on to it. She had woken up, chaos-ridden.
Right,
Alex said, like Cole wasn't listening.
That's it?
Cole demanded. He was realizing with dawning horror that Alex didn't know more than he did about bringing back the dead. And what did that mean? When Alex was supposed to have been studying Constantine's methods, and Cole had stumbled into the same, or possibly even a better, technique. Was Master Joseph right about Cole? Did having Constantine's soul make him automatically better at raising the dead? Alex stared at Cole with a superior expression on his face.
You might not think it's much, but it's not as easy as it sounds.
Cole sighed.
I already tried it.
What? Alex frowned.
You have not.
Cole didn't care about Alex or his attitude. That's how I brought back Jennifer. I didn't mean for her to come back chaos-ridden. There just wasn't enough of her soul left. For a moment, Cole thought Alex was going to hit him.
I know things. Secret things,
he said, stabbing a finger toward Cole. It was clear, though, that he didn't. If what you're saying actually worked, then we wouldn't have to do any experiments. Master Joseph said Constantine was on the verge of a breakthrough, not that he'd had one. Cole sighed. I want to see Constantine's notebooks myself.
Why?
Nothing about this situation was going Alex's way, but he was clearly unwilling to give an inch. Cole was tired of arguing. If you don't let me see them, Master Joseph will.
Let's just try to bring back this stoat,
Alex said.
Come on. Concentrate.
I don't know,
Cole said. Then I'm going to do it myself.
Alex closed his eyes tightly, as though he were trying to burst a vein in his forehead. Cole could feel the chaos magic in the air, could almost smell it like a hot wind. On the table, the stoat began to stir. It shuddered all over, its back paws pinwheeled, its whiskers quivered, and then it opened swirling eyes. Chaos-ridden. Alex opened his own eyes expectantly, but when he saw what was on the table, he slammed his fist against the wall.
You should have helped me, he said. What we need is more power.
The stoat jumped off the table and was making for the door when Havoc roused himself from sleep and began to chase after it. Cole heard something smash, then a high-pitched cry. And a different stoat. Cole told Alex, vowing to never let him anywhere near Aaron's body. They decided to break for lunch, though Cole wasn't exactly hungry. Several hours with a dead stoat will do that to you, he thought. As Alex headed for the dining room, Cole pulled off toward the kitchen to get something quick and to not have to see Alex while he ate. There, he found a young man putting tea things on a tray. Hello, the young man said. Cole, not wanting to be rude, said, Hi. Seeing Cole's confusion, the young man laughed without guile and said, My name is Jeffrey and I help out around here. I didn't pass the tests to get into the magisterium, but Master Joseph offered to teach me anyway, instead of having my magic bound.
Oh, Cole said.
He had to admit that was a pretty good way of getting recruits, although Cole wasn't sure how much magic they could learn. But what if the answer was a lot? Cole thought of Hugo driving the van, of all the prisoners in the Panopticon, and wondered how many people were on the island.
You're Colum, right? Jeffrey asked.
Yeah, he said. Come with me. Assemblywoman Tarquin wanted me to bring you to her when you came out of your lessons. Cole wasn't sure exactly what Jeffrey thought he'd been doing, but he followed to a small Victorian parlor where Jeffrey set his tray of tea and sandwiches down on a table between two big velvet armchairs. There was a large bay window that looked out at the green lawn where a chaos-ridden pushed a lawnmower in a strange pattern on the grass. Presiding over the room was Anastasia, wearing another of her white power suits. She gestured for Cole to sit down in the armchair opposite her. Jeffrey left, and Cole took his place awkwardly. The silver stand of iced cakes and crustless sliced sandwiches was between them. He took an egg salad one and held it gingerly.
You must be very angry with me, Anastasia said.
You think? Cole took a bite of the sandwich. On the whole, he preferred lichen. You mean because you lied to Tamara and betrayed us? And let Master Joseph kidnap us? Why would I be mad about that? Her lips tightened.
Cole, she said. You were in the Panopticon. I had to do what I could to get you out. Do you think there was going to be any freedom for you?
No.
You would have been pursued by the mages from the moment they realized you were missing.
I don't see the difference between them catching me and Master Joseph catching me, Cole argued. This is just prison with sandwiches.
In my life, said Anastasia, I have learned that allegiances don't matter. You can be destroyed by those who call themselves good as easily as by those who are more obviously selfish.
All that matters to me, Call, is that you remain alive.
And safe.
She leaned forward.
Do as Master Joseph says. He will help you raise Aaron from the dead. Then, once you have him back, you can go before the Magisterium and show what you've done. Do you truly think they will reject such a gift?
Everyone hates death, Call. But not everyone has to be its enemy.
She shook her head. You don't understand.
I'm saying they'll accept you. They'll embrace you as their Makar, just as they'll embrace your magic and use it to bring back their loved ones. You'll no longer be in any danger.
I don't know if that'll work,
he muttered. But she didn't seem like she heard him. I filled your room with your things.
With Constantine's things, she said.
I know you're still fighting who you really are. It's ironic, because Con was always stubborn.
Her eyes were soft as she looked at him.
You've buried what you are for so long. Just let the pictures and clothes surround you. Let your soul remember.
She sighed.
I wish I could stay. I'd tell you stories about yourself every day, about what Constantine did when he was a little boy.
This sounded like the worst thing Call could think of.
You're leaving?
He said warily. I must return to the Magisterium and give them a good story about how you were taken, and I escaped with my life. Hopefully, I can be convincing enough so that I can keep an eye on their plans a little longer.
What if I can't do what Master Joseph wants?
Call asked her, thinking of Aaron's cold body on the table. Yes, he wanted Aaron back. But he wasn't going to let Alex raise Aaron as one of the Chaos-ridden. He'd do whatever he had to do in order to make sure that never happened. Constantine couldn't bring back the dead. Maybe I can't either. If I fail, Master Joseph is going to use the Alcahest to take my power.
Anastasia gave him a searching look. Master Joseph needs you. He will use the Alcahest to take your power only if he is forced into a corner. Don't force him into a corner, Call.
He needs us. And we need him.
You don't mind him threatening me? Call said. You don't think we should be worried?
If I thought there was a safer place to go, I would go there, said Anastasia.
But your soul, your restless soul, Con, was never meant to have peace. It was meant to have power.
She moved closer to him.
You are powerful. You can't just give up that power. The world won't let you. It won't allow you to simply hide and be safe. It may come to this. Ruling the world, or being crushed under its boot heel.
That seemed grim and dramatic. But Call just nodded, trying to look thoughtful instead of freaked out.
Anastasia touched his cheek once, longingly, and then rose. Goodbye, my dear.
As weird as she acted around him, and as much as he didn't want her talking about how much he was like Constantine all the time, he was a little sorry to see her go. Anastasia wanted him to be Constantine, her lost son, and that wasn't possible. But at least he felt like she was kind of on his side.
Master Joseph wasn't, no matter how he pretended to be.
Call ate the rest of his egg salad sandwich alone, watching the Chaos-ridden push the mower right into the river. After that, he looked around the house for Tamara and Jasper,
hoping he could persuade Master Joseph that they could all learn together. When he didn't find them, he went back to the stoat room. Alex was there, with two new, partially defrosted stoats. Call felt a little queasy.
"Here," Alex said, slamming a black notebook stuffed with extra sheets of loose-leaf paper onto the table. "This was Constantine's final notebook, and if you want to see the others, you don't have far to look. They're in your room, on your bookshelves, just like Master Joseph and Anastasia insisted."
"Thanks," Cole said grudgingly, picking up the book.
"Now it's your turn," Alex said, pointing to the small creatures on the table.
Cole looked at the stoats. He wasn't sure he could do it, but he did want Aaron back. And if there was any chance... He reached out, with chaos magic, toward one of the creatures. He could sense the cold that still gripped it, could feel the silvery remains of where its soul had been. Something was still there. He tried to catch hold of it, tried to warm it and grow it to life. But there was too little left. In desperation, he tried to inflate what was there. "We need more power," Alex had said. Call inhaled, gathering up the chaos inside himself, reaching into the darkness and the violence and the swirling movement that only a Makar could see. He grabbed at the chaos as if with both hands, shoving it desperately into the inflated soul of the stoat, as if he were trying to light a fire in the middle of an ice field. He felt the spark catch and grow. Alex yelled. Call ducked down as a loud bang echoed through the room. When he stood up again, black spots danced in front of his eyes. He felt weak and exhausted, drained of energy and magic. Alex looked at him furiously. He was splattered with bits of an unspeakable something that Call didn't want to dwell on.
"You exploded the stoat,"
Alex said.
"I did?"
Call was amazed. But the unfortunate evidence was everywhere. He'd missed the worst of it by ducking under the table, but Alex and his designer jeans hadn't been so lucky. Alex took off his gloves and threw them down on the table.
"I am so done with today!"
He stalked out. And after a minute, Call followed. Nobody wanted to be alone in a room with two dead stoats, one of them in pieces. He hoped Jeffrey wouldn't get stuck cleaning up.
"How did it go?"
Master Joseph asked that night at dinner. They were all gathered in the dining room again, though Anastasia's chair was empty. The table groaned with food, potato salad, coleslaw, barbecue ribs gleaming with spicy sauce, beans simmered in molasses, emerald collard greens. Jasper had already eaten an entire rack of ribs.
"Call exploded a stoat," Alex reported.
He looked freshly scrubbed, as if he'd showered, and then showered again.
"One cannot expect to get everything right in the beginning," said Master Joseph, gnawing a rib. "But I expect you to make steady progress."
"I'm sure someone else could do just as well as Call at this," said Alex.
He was staring piercingly at Master Joseph, as if to communicate his hope that Master Joseph would immediately suck out Call's powers with the Alkahest and move on from there.
"I'm sure they couldn't," said Master Joseph,
though his jaw tightened. Call watched him in fascination. Did Master Joseph ever want to use the Alkahest and have chaos magic for himself? First he'd been in Constantine's shadow, and now he was in Call's. Did it ever bother him? It was hard to tell.
His voice was calm when he said,
"We've never had two Makars before working on this project. Even Constantine was alone."
"I'm definitely alone," Cole thought. Alex was worse than no help at all, but Alex just grinned at him across the table in a not pleasant way.
"We'll get right on it tomorrow," Alex said.
After dinner, Tamara and Jasper spilled into Cole's bedroom to swap information about their days. Master Joseph had been teaching them how to form solid and unbreakable surfaces out of air and water. But as Cole had begun to realize after meeting Jeffrey, they weren't the only ones being taught. There were other mages, with other groups. Hugo taught 10 younger students, and Tamara and Jasper had spotted at least 4 other apprentice groups larger than the ones allowed at the Magisterium. Jeffrey was probably teaching, too.
"He wouldn't let us make sharp things, though," Jasper said. "Though I guess that makes sense. He doesn't want us armed. We figured out there's some kind of air elemental forming the protections around the alchemist, like a guardian."
He forced a smile.
"But that's okay. We'll figure out a way around it."
"What about you, Cole?" Tamara looked at him anxiously. "Was it really bad?"
Cole paused near the bookshelf. On it were rows and rows of photos of Constantine and his friends. It was hard not to notice that in every one of them, Constantine was laughing at the center of a group. People were always looking at him.
"It was fine," he lied.
"I'm just pretending to try anyway." "I'm going to try to get close to Master Joseph," Jasper said. "Act like I'm getting into this whole evil thing so that I can see if he'll tell me stuff. After all, their whole plan can't be to raise Aaron from the dead. That's not enough to take over the world."
"You think he has an army?" Cole asked. "I mean, beyond the prisoners and the students. An army of chaos-ridden?"
"Everyone thinks he's got an army," Jasper replied. "But we all thought the enemy of death was still alive, creating more and more chaos-ridden. If the only person who can make more of them is Alex, then maybe his army isn't that big."
Cole looked over and saw Tamara was looking at a picture on his dresser. One of his parents and Constantine.
"It's funny to look at them," Tamara said. "You would never know one of these apprentices was going to tear the mage world apart."
Cole glanced in the mirror. He hadn't remembered to brush his hair that morning, and there was a barbecue stain on his shirt. He didn't look like much of a threat either, but had the uncomfortable feeling that the next few weeks were going to define his destiny. Despite having the meeting in Cole's room, they all moved to Tamara's to sleep, but as the others dropped off into slumber, Cole found himself staring at the ceiling. His wolf cuddled up to his side.
"Your soul,"
Anastasia had said.
"Your restless soul was never meant to have peace." "You don't know me," Cole thought. "You don't know my soul."
He rolled over and closed his eyes tightly. But it was still a long, long time before he dropped off to sleep.
Chapter 8.
Alex might have hoped for big things, but the second day went even worse than the first. Cole spent half of it looking through Constantine's notes, which had been made in neat columns that caused Cole to despair of his own handwriting. If you were going to get someone's soul, Cole thought, it would be nice if you also got their superior penmanship. Constantine had written down lots of numbers, indicating experiments, and then measurements, which appeared to be chaos-related. He determined the minimum energy that was required to bring back one of the chaos-ridden, and then lists of improvements.